Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hometer.
Well, yep, the big news this week, at least in the financial world, was the Fed. The Fed raised rates by 0.25%, and they said there's more to come. So the markets this week, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. We've been saying this for months now, that it was really all about the Fed. And this week showed that, because after the Fed was done, the market liked it. And the Dow was up this week 5.5%. Boy, isn't that a pleasure to hear after all the volatility we've seen lately? S&P up 6.2%. And the NASDAQ was up 8.2% for the week. So those are really good raises in the market. Now, a lot of people get impatient and they want to jump around and try and time the market. I got to tell you right now, that is not the way to do it. Because this week and the previous week show you that it's virtually impossible to know when to get in and when to get out and then when to get back in again. So you've got to be really careful about that. You got to be patient. You got to stop listening to TV. And you got to make sure that your risk assessment, your risk-alized tool that we use, is right on track. If it's not, you got a problem. It's that simple. The 10-year Treasury, like I just said, 2.15%. It's going up. Rates are rising. You heard it from Chairman Powell this week. Oil settled in at $103 a barrel. Oil is up 37% this year, while the NASDAQ's still off 11.2%, still in correction territory. But the Dow and S&P, not so bad anymore, just down 4.4% and 6.4% for the year, respectively. And bonds, for those of you who are skittish about the market, those of you who don't like taking risks, those of you who had fixed income, well, guess what? You're down 5.2% for the year. Right. So, you know, remember, just because you have fixed income doesn't necessarily mean you're safe from losing money. And in this rising interest rate environment, which you are in right now, this is entirely different. So markets year to date have made some big moves. And these moves came on in the last few weeks. And the significant developments have come in the wake of the March Fed FOMC meeting, like I've been talking about. And so today I wanted to provide a technical take on some of the most followed equity indexes out there: Treasury yields, commodities, and currencies. This is, after all, my market segment. And let's take a look. So in equities, the equal weight S&P 500 index. Notice I said equal weight. We're not just talking about the S&P. The symbol is RSP. It continues to handily outperform the SPY. You notice the theme this morning? It's actually an index, SPY, SPY. Take a look at it. With the former down 4.13%, while the later, the SPY, is down 7.67%. RSP is trading as I would expect it, given the underperformance of the heavyweight tech, which dominates that sector. Now on the charts, RSP and SPY look pretty similar, but the important factor is the outperformance. In fact, that RSP's worst drawdown, when we look at this over the year, was less than 9%, while SPY was more than 12% from the early 22 highs. Now, from a style standpoint, I keep talking about this, and if you've missed it, I don't think it's over, but you've missed it in a big way, in some way. So when people say to me, well, my performance wasn't that great this year, well, were you involved in it in January? From a style standpoint, value, VTV, is down a lot less than 1% on the year, while growth, VUG, 15% down. I mean, that's massive. So value continues to outperform growth, and that reinforces my preference that I've been talking about which is value over growth. Let's turn to commodities. The commodity ETF you could follow is DBC. Now, these are all symbols I'm throwing out there. You can go look them up. Please read the prospectus on them so you know what you're doing. But the matter of fact is these are just, at the moment, ETFs I'm talking about. DBC, very well defined, despite the recent volatility we've seen in the oil market. The wild swings you're seeing in this index are, of course, a result of oil. But I think commodities should continue to outperform this year. Now, DBC is notably higher. The index is about 23% year to date up, while equities are still, as I said above, in their negative territory. The financials, the ETFs you could follow are XLF, KRE, KBE, regional banks, KRE. They're outperforming. And these ETFs are actually mildly positive on the year. Why? Again, because of the theme of rising rates. Now, finally, I think a bottom right now could be forming in tech. Why? You could look at the sector XLK. And this is due to the fact that now we have some clarity, at least a little more clarity on what the Fed's going to do. Everything was worried about a half a point rise on Wednesday. Didn't happen. It was quarter, which is what we were saying the last few weeks, and that's what happened. In the bond market, yields are higher across the curve. But what I'm concerned about right now is the flatness, the middle part of the curve. I call that the belly of the Treasury. Now, I want to be clear about this. The inversion we saw this past week, we did see an inversion in the 5 and the 10 years Wednesday, and then in the 7 and the 10s. This is not healthy from the bond market perspective, but it's also not the recession indicator that you get with the 10-2s that I keep talking about. So, yes, there are new lows in the 10-2 spread, and you know I keep watching that. If it gets below 18 on the spread, that's an indicator we're going in the wrong direction. How do you figure that out? You take the 10-year. Yesterday it closed at 2.15%. You got the 2-year at 1.95. You do the math, that's 0.20. 20 basis points. We're getting close, but we're not there yet. And as we start to get closer to that number or go through it or have the inversion, that is a recessionary signal in the bond market. We're not there yet. Okay, so take a deep breath. Now, what about economics? What's going on in the economic front? Well, this week, more signs of inflation. You had the weekly jobless claims number. This hit the lowest level we've seen in 2022. The jobless claims fell to 15,000. 214,000 was the number. The estimate was 221,000. So that's a pretty good number. And this shows that there's a positive trend in the labor market. And that's a result of Omicron fading away, thank goodness. And so those are good signals. That's also inflationary, and that's why people are saying maybe we haven't peaked yet. Now, this week we saw some other interesting things happen. We saw the Empire State Manufacturing Index. This is all the East Coast stuff that people are making. And the number this early, this part of the week, was not very good. It fell. This is the first contraction we've seen since the depth of the pandemic. But then the Philadelphia Fed came out. And that was really good. That showed a lot of growth, actually. And so that was a positive. So the market's sending mixed signals right now, and we're just trying to figure them out. But the issues still remain about the supply chains. And if you know, like I do, maybe you're ordering things off Amazon or you're trying to get that new refrigerator or what have you, you can't get it. Still taking time to get it to be delivered. And those are the supply chain issues because all that stuff's sitting out in the bay and those ships, right? So as that unwinds itself, hopefully that'll get better. But the bottom line from that is the upbeat numbers from the Philly Fed report was welcomed. And this was, again, a counter to what we saw earlier in the week. So The one thing that remains consistent across all the data that I'm looking at right now is that inflation has not yet peaked. And given the latest sprint higher in energy prices, oil, they're not expected to peak anytime in the immediate future. And that will leave the threat of stagflation out there. And the Fed having to hike rates, like they said, Wednesday, they're pretty clear about this. And the reason they do that is to curb that from happening so we don't run into a problem. That's what they're doing. Commodities continue to go higher, and that's because the dollar's lowering. The oil outperformed, copper rose, and gold gained slightly, again, because some of the rates dropped. Now, what about rates? Let's talk a little about rates, and then I'm going to get more into this because there's a lot to talk about today when it comes to rate and your fixed income and your bonds, and where is the opportunity right now? Well, let's look globally. You have to look globally. And in Europe right now, the euro gained 0.52% against the dollar because the European Eurozone HICP, it's known, it's our CPI equivalent, it was slightly hot, came in at 5.9%. So the euro right now, if you're thinking of going to Europe, not a bad time to do it still. It's relatively reasonable. Longer term, there's a downtrend against the dollar. Dollar's still pretty strong. And that trend overall I'm seeing right now in the greenback is bullish. And that will continue until we see signs that our economy can't weather the Fed hikes, which slows things down. So right now we're still looking pretty good. And I think as long as the fundamentals are, we're good. If you're going to turn to bonds, treasuries are trending lower in terms of the overall price. Yields are moving higher. We're seeing that. And now that's starting to affect your fixed income. So in the months and quarters ahead, yields I expect to rise. And that's going to mean one thing to your fixed income portfolio, your safe money, which, by the way, I just said you were down 5% year to date on.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.